Okay, we'll come back on the record. And Mr. Nelson, I don't know, are we ready for cross-examination?
Actually, one thing before we do cross-examination, you provided us with two other documents, a deed of dedication dated December 30th, 2028, and a quitclaim deed dated December 31st, 2008.
Yes.
Do you want them marked and be put in the record along with your other exhibits?
Yes, I was providing those as exhibits for proof that the township doesn't be owned.
Yeah. These are the exhibits that you received through your right to go request from the township?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to mark them at this time as exhibit. We've already entered some of these.
There, I think we're at number three.
Hold on 2 seconds.
SA1 and SA2, I think, is what.
Let me
I have SA1 and SA2.
Yeah. Yes. So, what we're going to do, just to clarify the record, you currently have marked documents 1 through 13.
Correct.
We are going to make them add 2 to each of those numbers. So, they're going to start as exhibits 3 through 15.
Okay.
The deed of dedication dated December 30th, 2008 is going to be Seedlings Academy 16, and your quitclaim deed of December 31st, 2008 will be Seedlings Academy 17. All right.
Sounds good.
At the end of this, I'm going to ask you if you want to move them all on the record, and then we'll ask the other parties if they have any objections. If there's no objections, they'll be all part of the record.
Okay.
That being said, we are now. You're done with your testimony?
Yes.
Mr. Strong, cross examination.
Thank you. The pointer?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Maybe, Chuck, could we bring up Township Exhibit 4, one that was being referenced previously?
We've been operating since 2017, January of 2017. So the first property, I do not know when she acquired that. I'm not familiar with that. The other property, the second property in the middle, 725, was acquired in 2017. And the third property was acquired 2 years after that, so 2019.
Okay. And have you been operating on these properties in one form or another dating back to 2017, it sounds like?
Yes.
And was the northernmost of those three properties the first of your locations?
Yes.
And then the middle property was acquired subsequent to the northern one, and then the last property was the property farthest to the south?
Correct.
Okay. Were you aware of the prior application that was approved in 2018 that also proposed a Sheets fueling facility on the property that is the subject of the current Governor Crossing application?
No.
So at the time you were operating in 2017, you were not aware of the application or the proposed sheets, okay? Now, Mr. Nelson is making me do math. So your Exhibit 1, which I believe is SA3.
Correct.
There isn't a lot of context for this. Can you just tell us where this comes from? I assume the highlighting was added. Obviously, we're going to, I think you'll want to move this exhibit for admission into the record, and it's just a little confusing for me to understand exactly what's here.
That comes from the what is already in, I'm not sure what exhibit it is listed as. But it comes from the Department of Transportation comments.
Jamie, look at the screen.
Yeah.
When you go down, Chuck, right there. So that's the exhibit it's from.
Yes.
And there's a highlight.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and this was taken verbatim from that letter that's already
on the record. All I did was highlight it.
So, Mr. Miller, for sake of the record, you took this. This is the final page of Exhibit A28.
Okay. Yes.
You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And in the highlighted section, and you testified about entering and exiting left turn movements for driveways. And so I want to make sure that I understand what your current situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Out at these three properties, and you've provided us with Exhibit 2, which would be SA4.
Yes.
Chuck, if you could pull that up.
Now, on your property, on the screen, the arrows are not as what is on yours.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. I assume the paper copy is what you were requesting be made a part of the record. Okay.
Yes.
And on the paper copy, there are two purple arrows. And is that indicating traffic flow currently for those two access drives?
Yes.
Okay. Chuck, maybe we can zoom into those properties, if that's possible. And so the northern of the three properties this one here that actually has the marker, mm-hmm. Seedlings Academy for Young Learners.
Correct.
And so, as I understand it, and I believe as these purple arrows are depicting on your exhibit, any vehicles that are entering that property are entering from Fishburne only?
Yes.
Do you have any vehicles currently that enter the property from the alley?
No.
So only entering from Fishburne?
Correct.
And when those vehicles enter, I noticed there's a looks like a white sidewalk at the front between the building and Fishburne. Is that sidewalk used as part of?
No.
Okay. Where do vehicles then go that are dropping your students off for that northern building?
You can see the cars parked in the parking area behind the building. There is a rear entrance on all three buildings. I shouldn't say all three. The first two buildings have rear entrances from the parking lots that we use as the main entrance. The front entrances that face Fishburne Road are emergency exits only.
So when children are being dropped off or picked up, vehicles will enter from Fishburne, and then do they all park behind the building?
Yes, there or behind the second building, the middle building.
Over here?
Yes.
And so if they park here and directly behind the northernmost building, how do those folks then get their kids into the building, and then when they're picking up, how do they come out of the building?
It's a short walk from those cars into the parking, through the parking lot. It's not visible on the picture, but there is a ramp, a wide ramp that is handicap accessible that goes into the back of the building.
I'm having a hard time seeing what's in front of all of these parked cars. Is there a sidewalk there?
No, that is a stone water retention area. The grassy area in front of those cars is our play yard.
That would be this area here?
Yes.
Do you know how close that playground is to the property line? Looks like maybe it's...
It's pretty much right on.
Right on it.
Yeah.
And so do people get out of their cars and walk in front and go through that stormwater area? Do they come behind and then go to that ramp?
Some do, but some don't.
Yes. Okay. And you also mentioned that the area behind the middle building is also used for parking. Mm-hmm. Will folks park there to pick up and drop off kids that are in that northern building?
Some will, yes.
Okay. And then with respect to the middle building, I assume it operates somewhat the same. They can only enter from Fishburne. This is a shared access,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And then they will park either behind the middle building or behind the northern building to do drop-offs and pickups.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of those cars currently exit to the alley and then out to Fishburne Road?
Either way, one way or the other. They'll either turn left and go out to Fishburne, to northbound Fishburne, they'll go right and go down to the University Physician Center driveway.
Okay. And then let's just look at this is the third of the three buildings. So we'll call this the southern building, is that correct?
Yes.
And again, I think depicted by the purple arrow on your exhibit, traffic is only permitted to enter the property from Fishburne?
Correct.
And then all traffic exiting the property must exit out to the alley only?
Correct.
And I think your testimony was that those restrictions were imposed as part of an approval process that you went through,
yes,
with the township?
Yes.
And so looking at this access drive, looks like these are all angled parking spaces?
Yes.
And so when parents are picking up and dropping off kids, they're parking in these spaces and then the kids go either into the building or come from the building out to the cars?
Yes, the main entrance to the south building is, if you can see the hashtagged parking spot there, that is that little space there in front of it is the main entrance.
Okay. And is there a sidewalk here or is that
similar? Yes, there's a sidewalk in front.
And is this gray area adjacent to the alley, is that a building?
That's a garage.
A garage, yes.
That is currently being leased by Dr. Hamilton, who owned the building previously.
Okay. And is this also a joint driveway that's shared with the property to the south?
Yes, that is with it isn't necessarily a shared driveway. There's actually a small grass strip that goes in between the two driveways.
Okay.
And so our property lines go down the middle of that grass strip.
Okay, so two separate driveways,
yes,
running parallel to,
yes,
each other.
But they have basically the same entrance.
Okay. And do you know this property, they're not under a restriction that they can only exit?
I don't know.
So as it currently stands, just so I'm 100% clear, all vehicles that enter any of these three properties are required by the township as part of a prior approval,
mm-hmm,
to exit to the alley only.
Yes.
Okay. And so that restriction that was imposed by the township, to your understanding, could only be removed by the township.
Yes.
Looking at Exhibit 3, which would be SA5. If we could pull that one up, Chuck. Well, now numbers are getting used. It was 3 originally.
Yeah, okay. I got those two mixed up. There you go.
And so on this exhibit, there are also lines with arrows drawn.
Yes.
That don't appear on what we're looking at on the screen. But I thought I understood your testimony to be that the traffic pattern was going to change with respect to how vehicles would exit.
Correct.
Your three properties, and that this exhibit, SA5, was assuming that this change in traffic pattern would require that vehicles leaving the properties leave via Fishburne Road and no longer the alley. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, if the intersection is approved. Yes.
And what is that assumption based on? Because that's the first I've heard.
The assumption is based on Exhibit 1, or Exhibit SA3.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that PennDOT is preferring that left turns not be done into any driveway along the left turn, the new left turn lane, because we have an alley in the back.
Right, so that would be vehicle movements into your properties. But what appears to me to be suggested by this exhibit is that the traffic pattern for vehicles leaving your properties would be altered so that, and I think you were showing on exhibit SA5, that traffic that wanted to go south would have to come out, turn right on Fishburne, go back down the alley, mm-hmm. and then go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think you said would even have to go up Fishburne all the way over to Coco.
Right.
And I guess my question is, why are you assuming that traffic would start, that the pattern would change and traffic would be exiting via Fishburne as opposed to exiting via the alley, which is currently what's mandated by the township?
Because we can't do both. We cannot bring, there is the drive, both driveways are single lane driveways only. And so if we try to bring traffic, if we're going to say left turn traffic cannot come in there, and that they're going to come in at the intersection, the new intersection, they're going to turn left onto the alley. Okay, that's the assumption that PennDOT made. Is I based it on PennDOT's assumptions that southbound traffic would have to turn left at the alley, at the light at the alley, and enter into Seedlings from the back. And so we can't have cars entering from the front as well as from the back, because we have accidents, we have all kinds of clogging and congestion, and we have a higher risk of children being injured and parents being injured as they're getting out of their cars or into their cars.
So let me take maybe a step back, and I just want to be clear that everything that we're talking about with Township Exhibit 4 and with traffic movements and impacts to the properties that Seedlings Academy is located on, all of that is based on the highway occupancy permit process, correct? Is that your understanding?
It's based on what I see here in these comments. Whether it's part of the highway occupancy permit process or not, I don't know. It's what I based it on what I read from PennDOT's concerns about the original design or the revised design, whichever the comments were about.
And what PennDOT is saying is that there may be a possibility that there would be a restriction against left turn movements into the property.
Correct.
But you would still have right turn movements permitted into the property, correct?
Yes.
And then all traffic would exit, go out the alley, and then they would go to what would be a signalized intersection now, correct? That's Sand Hill Road and the alley.
Correct, but you're also talking about now how do they, you're talking about yet another inconvenience in how they get to that place where they can turn right only into Seedlings.
Right, so we're starting with an assumption which may or may not end up being the case, as the highway occupancy permit process plays out. But we're starting with the assumption in your testimony that a left turn movement into the Seedlings Academy properties might not be permitted in the future.
Based on what PennDOT said, yes.
Right. So in terms of the inconvenience that you're talking about, it would be that left turn movement into the property. If someone's northbound on Fishburne Road, they can still turn right into either driveway, and everything will function as it always has since 2017 or whenever the access restriction was imposed.
Correct. Those that are already doing it, yes, it wouldn't matter to them. And I think that's probably reflected in the survey. I don't know that for sure because I didn't ask that question, what direction they're coming from.
Okay. And again, in exhibits, I guess this would be SA6 now and SA7, those turning movements that you've added, those are all under the assumption that traffic would now be reversed and would be exiting?
Yes.
And that, again, would only be, that was a restriction imposed by the township, correct? They're the only ones that can lift that restriction?
Correct.
Wanted to ask you about Exhibit 6, which would be SA8.
Mm-hmm.
If we could pull that up, Chuck. And I guess I wasn't clear what we're seeing in this picture. Is this a picture taken by someone standing in the alley looking westbound?
Northbound.
To Fishburne Road?
Yes, northbound. I took this picture.
Okay.
On April 26th.
And so you took this standing in the alley and looking west or north?
Correct.
To Fishburne Road?
Yes.
And I think you mentioned in your testimony that children play right here. I think
yes. You
looked at this ball and this bike.
Yes.
Those aren't Seedlings Academy children, correct?
No. These are children that live in the apartment building, right? There's an apartment building right off to the left.
But in terms of any children that are being dropped off and entrusted to the care of Seedlings Academy, they're not playing in the alley. You have fenced off players.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood.
We would be closed down.
You mentioned the survey, and obviously this is the first that I saw of it tonight, so I did have a couple questions I wanted to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
The first, and this isn't a big question, but I think in your testimony you said that you have 90 children, 75 families.
Yes.
And I saw that 81 people answered the survey.
Yes.
So I was wondering how more people than families, were there multiple?
Well, this was sent out, I if you remember I had said this was sent out to 145 emails. And basically two emails per household, minus a few single parent households. So we had 81 responses, so I'm assuming, because we did this anonymously, we didn't want anyone to feel like they had to make it their only answer based on that we knew who they were. And so this was weird. I said in my testimony that this was either 100% of our households plus a few extras where somebody, a husband and wife, both responded. At the very least, it's 57% of our families.
If you assume multiple responses from the same household.
No, if we assume only one response from each household, plus a few extras, it's at least 57% of a response.
I'm not good at math, but if you have 81 responses and 75 families, obviously that's more than 100%.
Right.
If it's one response per child, if
we have families that again, we have 90 children, 75 families, so we have siblings. Okay, we have some families that have three children with us, some families that have one, and in between.
Sure.
So the The 81 responses is 57% of the 145 emails or surveys that went out.
That's the number of responses you got in response to your request.
Correct.
I think we can agree that obviously multiple folks in, per student may have responded to the survey.
Correct. Yes.
Looking at page 3, your question to these families was, do you have it? Do you find it difficult to drop your child off at Seedlings to get to work on time? So this is currently existing
conditions. Yes.
And almost 21% or 17 responses said yes, they do have a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Then on the next page, page 4, it was a similar question, but about do you have a difficult time picking your child up at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm.
And there, 28.4% of the folks that responded, it looks like 23 people responded, said yes. So that's the current situation. Now you have almost 30% saying they have a difficult time.
Correct.
And on page 5, it looks like most of those people, almost 80%, felt that those were issues out of their control, so it's not because they're getting up late and rushing. It's
that's why I asked the question. Yeah.
Okay, but again, that's what's the existing condition now, correct?
Yes.
You mentioned in your testimony about the possibility of being asked to give up 5 feet of your lawn, and that's based on, again, a future highway occupancy permit process. So you don't know how much or how little or if any additional right-of-way would be required. Is that correct?
I was just going based on testimony, previous testimony by engineers that have said that we would be asked for 5 feet.
At 5 feet of additional right-of-way?
Of additional right-of-way, yes.
And it's possible that within that 5 feet of additional right-of-way, no improvements would need to be made to the roadway. Is that correct?
I don't know.
And so you mentioned 5 feet, but then in the survey, the question is a little bit different. It talks about, would it concern you if the travel lane in front of Seedlings would potentially bring the road 12 to 15 feet closer to each building?
Yes.
So we went from 5 feet of right-of-way, which may or may not have any improvements to the road itself within that right-of-way, to the road itself being 12 to 15 feet closer to each building. That's what the survey was asking them?
Yes.
And so the comments, understandably, were we wouldn't want the road to come 15 feet closer to the building, right? I mean, that's the general gist of all of these questions. But there's nothing in the record that says the road, Fishburne Road, will end up 12 to 15 feet closer to any of the three buildings that you currently operate Seedlings Academy at. Is that correct?
There is record, I believe, there is record that states there's an extra 5 feet of right-of-way, and the current right-of-way, Mr. Stump testified that the current right-of-way, because I didn't know, so I asked him, I wanted to make sure I was being accurate, and I asked him, where does right-of-way start and where does it end in this particular situation? And he said generally PennDOT right-of-way is behind the current traffic pole, telephone poles. So that's already 7 feet into our property. It was testified that the new lanes require, I believe, at least 10 feet per lane. And so I think it was a fair, accurate description that we could expect that the roads would come very close to 12 to 15 feet.
And are you aware that the width of a right-of-way for a public road doesn't mean that the paved portion is going to be as wide as the right-of-way?
Right, yes.
And, you know, a good example is the alley. You introduced some exhibits here tonight that say the right-of-way width for the alley is 20 feet, but I think your testimony was that the alley is not paved to a width of 20 feet, correct?
Correct.
So in terms of the question that was asked of all of these parents, some additional right-of-way doesn't necessarily mean additional widening of the road, but the question that was asked to them is, if the road is now 15 feet closer to the building, would you have a concern?
Jim, and yes, the answers, if you look at many of the comments, any movement of the road closer to seedlings, whether it's 3 feet or 5 feet, I mean, the general responses of the comments are that any movement of the road closer to the building is a concern for them, for our parents.
And again, there's no testimony or evidence in the record for this hearing as to any proposed widening of Fishburne Road. We talked about the possibility of a turn lane, whether or not that could all be done within the existing paved area, or, you know, if there's some widening, it could take place on the other side of Fishburne, not on your side of Fishburne.
Well, if you go back to the T4 exhibit, okay, with okay, so all of those show, it says HOP, lightly turn, left turn restriction, and right of way. So if there is not going to be any expansion of the roadway towards our buildings, why is there a need for right of way, and why is there a need for an HOP process?
And you're aware that this exhibit was prepared by the township's traffic engineer?
That is the record. You asked me if there was any record,
sure.
Right? And I'm saying yes, in my mind there is, because they are saying there are right-of-way concerns on these properties. And if there are right-of-way concerns, that tells me that they're wanting to expand into our property. And so the only reason I can see why they would want to do that is if they're going to expand the road into our property.
Two follow-up questions. The arrows that point to A2Z Realty properties,
mm-hmm.
say HOP, likely left turn restriction, and ROW, which would be right of way. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Did I read that correctly? HOP, likely left turn restriction, and ROW.
Right of way, yes.
And I don't see anything in that box that says road widening, likely road widening, possible road widening. Do you?
No.
And I don't see anything there that says road widening of 12 to 15 feet onto those three properties. Do you see that?
No.
It is possible that additional right-of-way could be for a grading easement. So you need to change the grading to make sure it meets the edge of the pavement, so there's no improvements, but maybe some grading. Is that a possible scenario that wouldn't require widening of the road?
I don't know. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a construction guy.
In terms of the comments, one sort of jumped out at me on page 14. You had read comment 11, and then the comment right below that said, have they considered adding a traffic light at the northern intersection of the alley and Fishburne Road to allow for traffic exiting the alley to turn left? Are you aware that is what's proposed by the plan?
Yes, they weren't.
Right.
Right.
And
whoever responded that way.
And so there was a testimony from the traffic engineers about the positive impacts that signalizing that intersection of the alley in Fishburne would have. Were you present for that testimony?
Ask the question again.
Were you present for the testimony of the traffic engineers about the positive impacts from signalizing the intersection of the alley in Fishburne?
I'm honestly not remembering.
Okay. Well, let's take it from your personal experience. When you leave the properties, you exit via the alley and you go out to the intersection with Fishburne Road, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you make a left turn to go home or do you make a right turn to go home?
I make a right turn.
Have you ever made a left turn?
Oh, yes.
And would it be easier to make that left turn if it was a signalized intersection?
Not necessarily.
Ms. Means, at one of the earlier hearings, had put up an exhibit that showed, you know, it was sort of drawn in, but a solid stacked line of traffic on Fishburne Road heading north.
Yes.
And it seems hard that you'd be able to make a left turn if that was the current situation.
No, if I remember correctly, that was an exhibit for the proposed new intersection. There was a stacking at the proposed new intersection, not a stacking all the way back from Governor Road.
It's possible she may present that at the next meeting. We can talk about that. But you don't have an opinion as to whether or not signalizing the intersection of the alley and Fishburne Road would help facilitate left-turn movements out of the alley on Fishburne Road?
It possibly would, except that the changes, again, are that we're not supposed to be going, the assumption that I have is that we're coming back. We're not coming out that way anymore. We're coming out the front with the new intersection. And that is one of the things that concerned me, because you have the two lanes starting right at our northernmost driveway. And so if we have people who have to come out of our driveway onto Fishburne Road, if they want to go south, they're going to have to do one of those options, and one of those options could be going into the new development and turning around, and they're going to have to cross lanes right out of our driveway in order to get into the left-hand turn lane to turn left onto Sandhill Road.
But again, that's based entirely on an assumption that your current traffic flow, which is in from Fishburne out via the alley, is going to change in violation of the conditions that the township imposed previously on.
No, I'm expecting we're not going to do anything that's going to be in violation of the township. I was expecting my point is that I fully expected that the township would ask us to change it because of the new traffic patterns.
But that's not been proposed as part of the
testimony. That's not right now.
In your testimony, you mentioned that even if all of the requirements are met, that you still have issues, or would have issues with the project and would be have concerns. Am I understanding correctly that you would be opposed to the application even if all of the township ordinance requirements were met by the proposal?
Yes.
In looking at the specific request for approval, first is for the proposed apartments. Do you have any specific issue with respect to the apartments that are proposed as part of the application?
Not really, no.
In terms of the proposed fuel service facility, is there any specific issue with respect to the fuel facility that is proposed as part of the project?
Yes.
And what would that specific issue be?
The specific issues are, again, traffic congestion, traffic issues, because I do not believe that the TIS numbers are accurate based on what I already see and what I already experience. My concern about air pollution with cars idling while they're going into a storm, or whatever idling happens in those areas, in that area, the amount of truck traffic that may be included, the amount of light pollution that is possible. And I know all of those things have been addressed, and those things we are told are going to go within standards. However, standards aren't, our standards are standards across the board. Just because they're standards across the board doesn't mean that those standards will work at this specific location, and I don't believe that it will.
And you obviously came to the township for approval of your child care facility.
Yes.
Would it have been fair if you looked at the standards that were applicable to that use and you came into the hearing and they decided we're going to apply a different set of standards? Yes, you meet the standards that are in the ordinance, but for you, we're going to impose some different standards because that's what we think is more appropriate.
It's not a matter of who the people are. That's not my argument. My argument is that just because standards are met doesn't mean that it's actually going to happen that way. And the evidence that I see every day shows me something different.
And if the standards are met for the proposed child care facility, do you have any specific issue with respect to that part of the application?
No.
Those are all the questions that I have, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. Mr. McNair?
No questions.
Mr. Chris?
No questions.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Mr. Winter?
No questions.
Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Stain?
No questions.
Mr. Twyman? Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Miller?
I do. Mr. Miller, how long have you been operating Seedlings Academy?
Six and a half years.
And as part of your role at the academy, are you there during regular business hours?
Off and on. My office is actually in our home. I'm the business manager. My wife is the president. You know how those things go. But she's right back there. my wife is the president. She's there 50, 60 hours a week.
What are the regular business operating hours of the academies?
6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Is there a particular number of days a week that you might be there?
I'm there. Sometimes I'm there covering breaks over nap time. So that's what I prefer to work with the children.
Are you ever there during? What is the in your based on your experience with those buildings, mm-hmm. What is the normal drop off time in the morning and the drop and the departure time in the afternoon for the children?
Peak drop off time is in the morning is between 7 and 8:30, and peak pickup time is between 3:30 and 5:00.
Are you generally familiar with the traffic patterns on Fishburne Road as an owner of those properties?
Yes.
A lessee of those properties?
Yes.
How would you characterize the traffic on Fishburne Road around the peak hours in the morning for your facility?
Very heavy.
And again, how would you characterize the traffic on Fishburne Road in the peak hour in the evening at your facility?
Maybe even heavier.
Is it reasonable to assume that a daycare facility that opens down the road, mm-hmm. as proposed in these plans, mm-hmm. Would operate during the same general business hours as your facilities?
Yes.
Right. And so is your expectation that at the peak hour of drop-off in the morning and the peak hours of departure in the late afternoon, if both daycares are in operation, the traffic will be even heavier on Fishburne Road than it currently is?
I would expect so, yes.
Thank you. Those are all the questions I have.
Any other board members? Just a couple, Mr. Miller. You said, just to confirm, you have 90 children?
Yes.
From 75 families?
Yes.
15 staff?
Yes.
Does that include your wife and you?
No. My wife and I would make it 70. Thank you for correcting me.
And so you, the requirement that you only enter from Fishburne and exit on the alley, that's part of a conditional use approval?
Yes.
And that was a conditional use for you to establish the daycare on the original property?
Yes.
Did you then receive additional approvals for the other two properties?
Yes.
Okay. Did you go through a hearing process or was it done administratively?
No, it was a hearing.
And so for all three properties, that condition was attached?
Yes. I'm not sure how it went for the first one, because the first one is a shared driveway between the two properties. And the second property came along about 6 to 9 months after. So I can't honestly remember how that one came along. But if I remember right, the first one, the first property we had was, the condition of use was that it was entrance only from Fishburne Road, and that we were to keep that entrance in order to get approval for the second one, for the shared driveway. And then when the third one came along, they asked us to do the same thing, and we agreed, because the parking lot of that third building is slanted that way.
And were there any other conditions attached? Are you aware of?
I'm trying to. Just the standard conditions of, we have to be continually passing our state inspections every year and, those kinds of things.
Okay. But that's compliance with other outside.
Right.
You don't have copies of those conditional use decisions, do you, with you at this time?
I do not have them with me. I think I do have copies of them.
As for, I think Mr. Strong asked you a bunch of questions about your assumption that the traffic through your properties would have to reverse if this project went forward. If that assumption is wrong, and let's say you continue to have everyone making a right into your properties off of Fishburne and then exiting out of the alley, would you still have the same kind of around Robin Hood's barn?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Would you still have the same kind of roundabout, I call it around Robin Hood's barn, going way out of your way to get somewhere because of you can only, not so much leaving the site, but getting to your site?
Yes, some of our families would. Yes.
Families who normally come from the north on Fishburne and make a left turn, they could have a much longer roundabout route in order to make the right in.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So those concerns you raised in those, I think it was exhibits 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. Actually, it was 3, 4, and 5, I think.
Well, let's be exact. I guess it probably should be. 4, 5, and 6, you have the exhibits with the arrows.
Oh, okay,
and,
I'm sorry.
And 7.
You have different
and 7.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
SA4, SA5, SA6, and SA7.
Yes.
You could make the same sort of diagrams showing people
correct
having to get to your property.
Correct.
If they want you to do it right in.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's everything.
Okay.
That being said, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
You're going to close your case in chief?
I am.
And would you like your exhibits moved into the record?
Yes, please.
Any objections?
Before we get to that, could I ask one follow-up question that was prompted by a question you asked that I think will be very clear?
If you have to.
Chuck, can you pull up what was Exhibit 2, now is SA4? And you mentioned in response to Mr. Nelson's question that there are 15 staff, and then you and your wife would be two additional. Mm-hmm. In looking at the Exhibit SA-4, are all of those cars the staff cars that are parked there for the whole day?
Most likely the ones along the alley are. The ones in the parking lot behind the building, I can't say yes or no because I don't know what time of day this was taken.
Okay, that was the only question I had.
Thank you.
And then your question to me was whether I had any objection. I don't have an objection to each of the individual exhibits, although I guess I would make a general objection as to the relevance of some of them, particularly the roundabout exhibits. No roundabout is proposed, but I know the response will be that they'll be admitted and they'll take it for what they take it for. So that would just be my only comment with respect to the exhibits. So I have no objection with that caveat.
Okay, understood, and you predicted correctly.
We've been going at this a long time.
Yes, for better or for worse. That being said, Mr. Miller, you're excused.
Thank you.
Next up, I think we would have Ms. Newman. And as we spoke during the break, I believe you said you really only have public comment at this time. So as I told you, you can give it now. Or you can give it with the rest of public comment, but you can't give it both.
I'll do it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Did you have handouts? Should be two changes.
Thank you. While this is happening, Mr. Smith, Stan, Twyman, Hitchcock, do you, any of you have any witnesses to present?
No.
You said
it just doesn't have to be on the record.
Okay.
This is fine. Nothing? Okay. Do you guys wish to, any of you wish to give your comments at this time, or do you want to wait until the end with everyone else?
I'm going to wait.
Okay. Mr. Hitchcock, Mr.
Will we be able to use Google Maps
later on? Yes, if you're prepared for it, yes. So would you like to wait, sir?
Yeah, I'll
okay.
Can use the other one.
All right.
Thank you.
of my life.
Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the true self?
So,
Ms. Newman,
yes.
I'm going to preemptively tell you you can speak into the microphone and speak up so everyone can hear.
I will do that.
Thank you.
I have a hoarse voice, but I will speak as loud as I can. My name is Ann Newman. Excuse me. Address 533 Elm Avenue in Pershing. First of all, I'd like to thank the township and everyone who participated in these meetings. Most of my questions have been answered. I'm still concerned, however, with safety, traffic, noise, light, environmental pollution, and the impact on my neighbors' well-being. Governor Crossing seems to be a project that has grown without a cohesive plan. It has expanded from a single restaurant through a succession of small retail groups featuring a pharmacy, and now emerges as a mixed-use development of poorly matched businesses crammed into a too small space. The project involves major changes to the Governor Road intersection with new turning lanes, curbs, and traffic signals. These changes will have an adverse effect on Fishburne Road businesses and residents. Some lose two-way access to their property. Some face condemnation of property in order to widen Fishburne Road for the turning lane. Congestion and confusion at the Governor Road intersection will increase. I have personally witnessed within the last month two vehicles making right turns onto Governor Road, one from the through lane and one from the left-hand turning lane, both against the light. My son-in-law's vehicle was hit broadside in this intersection by a vehicle running a red light. Adding complexity with additional curbs, lanes and curbs to this intersection is a safety issue. Vehicle access to Governor Crossing is severely limited by the one-way only entrances and exits. This could be a serious detriment in a disaster event requiring extensive emergency response or evacuation. Service and delivery vehicles share the same pathways as foot and bicycle traffic, creating daily safety hazards. Parking within the complex does not seem to be sufficient, particularly with respect to the mixed-use apartments. If there are two people in an apartment, there will be two cars, and young people have lots and lots of guests also with cars. The lack of amenities, green space, and proximity to a gas station will not attract long-term tenants. The apartment units will attract primarily transient tenants, probably for the duration of health or education terms. These will not become lasting community members. If parking is an issue, retail businesses will not thrive. The site of the child care facility is problematic. It is close to mass parking, vehicle traffic, gasoline pumps, and storage tanks. The sheets hung canopy is an improvement over prior designs. The 21 and a half foot height seems excessive when the township only requires 14 feet for truck and bus clearance. The higher canopy, the wider reflected light will be. Excessive light affects birds' migration patterns. Many communities already require overnight dimming of the lights. Dairy Township do likewise, if it has not already done so. I don't know whether it has or not. Sheets assures us that its 24/7 music will not be auditable beyond the pumps. From testimony, we know that the station manager will be able, if willing, to adjust the volume. Our definable limits set. These should be documented somewhere. The rear of both the mixed-use building and Sheets face busy roadways. These will be the face of Governor Crossing. Landscaping and proper maintenance will go a long way behind these buildings along the entire Fishburne Governor Road perimeter will go a long way to ameliorate the view. There should be assurance that this is designed well and maintained properly. For example, the Marriott Hotel on Chocolate Avenue is an excellent example model of street-facing design accommodations for an attractive community. In this case, the township successfully intervened on the concept drawings for the site. The result was a retaining wall and landscaping to shield the parking lot view from the street. Ask anybody in the community about this. The answer is always, yes, they did a nice job on that. Let's do the same for Governor Crossing. A retaining wall at the Fishburne Governor Road corner does not show on the elevation drawings. Such a wall would be an effective way to block vehicle headlight glare from penetrating the surrounding neighborhood. Flashes from eastbound turning cars from Fishburne currently reach my residence on Elm Avenue. Please don't make it worse. One last basic question to consider. Why even install the infrastructure for a petroleum-based facility when the transition to electric vehicles is expected to accelerate to 50% within 12 years? Who will be responsible for removing deteriorating tanks if they become an environmental hazard? So these are subjective comments, but it's my feeling. It's my feeling on behalf of the neighbors, particularly on Fishburne, I would actually like to see this put back on the drawing board to get community input into the design. So that's it.
Thank you. Do not go away.
Go away.
You are. The other parties do get to ask you questions.
Oh, okay.
Just, Mr. Strong, I have no questions. Mr. McNair?
No questions.
Mr. Christ?
No questions.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Mr. Winter?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Stang?
No questions.
Mr. Twyman? Not here. I keep forgetting it. Mr. Hitchcock?
No.
Okay.
Does the board have any questions for Ms. Newman?
I have one question for you, yes. Ms. Newman. Would you like your handout to be marked as an exhibit?
Yes, please.
Okay, we're going to mark it as AN1. I assume there's no objections to it. It just repeats what she just testified to. Seeing none, you're now excused. Thank you very much, Ms. Newman.
Thank you.
I, off the record, asked Mr. Smith, Mr. Stang, and Mr. Hitchcock if they wish to present any evidence or witnesses at this time. I believe they said no. They also stated they wish to withhold their public comment until the end of the case. Is that correct, three sirs?
Yes.
Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
All right. All three said yes. That being said, we have now completed everyone's case in chief.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm a party. I want to be able to testify, but there's only about 10 minutes left here tonight, so I'd like to, when Ms. Means testifies on the 31st, I'd like to have the opportunity at that time.
Okay. Understood. That works. Yes, I don't want to get started now. Mr. Strong, do you plan to do any sort of rebuttal at this time? Not now, but starting on the 31st.
I would reserve the opportunity, but certainly nothing at this point.
Okay.
And just to clarify, that means we are done with all of the parties with the exception of Mr. Winter and Ms. Means. And
correct.
And this will be done at the next hearing, and then
yes.
Public comment for the remainder of that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I guess my excitement on concluding everyone's case in chief. Sure. Sorry, I get that way at times. So yes, once the two of them testify, we're done with everyone, and then it'll be on to you for any rebuttal, if any. And then I think we then have the third hearing. Then we'll move on to public comment as a whole, so whoever wishes to comment at that point in time, I'd be prepared to do so on the next meeting, which is the 31st of July. And then I think we are looking for oral argument from the parties at the August hearing. Does that work for the board? Does that sound good to the parties?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all good. We're getting out 10 minutes.
Just one very quick question. There have been a number of citizens committed tonight and at other times. Are they available on a Dropbox or the township website or someplace where, rather than making multiple copies, they would be available somewhere?
Yeah, we can put them all on a Dropbox. I think Chuck in his office will be able to do that. No problem. I'm going to take the exhibits. You know, I've been doing this, taking the official exhibits and marking them, making them electronic, but Chuck has also been doing that. So, yes, we can do that. Okay, before I get excited again, any other questions? All right, seeing none, the hearing is over. Take a trip home.